Welcome to the Late Night Freedom Fiends. When you have insomnia, you're never really asleep, and you're never really awake. And we're broadcasting from a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. I'm your co-host, Mr. Michael W. Dean, the angry hamster. And I'm talking to... And Lou Sanderfiend, what is your animal wrestling name tonight? Is it Chop Shop Rooster or something else?
I'm going to go with Chop Shop Rooster. I was going to go as Lim Gov Lou again, because there was a good response to that, or Longer Leash Lou. But yeah, I'm just going to be Chop Shop Rooster, because I don't think I could pull off the mini statism tonight.
Although we could bring Lim Gov Lou, Limited Government Lou, a character you play. We could bring him out to discuss the new finalized, approved Beast Lick, the BIPCOP. No, there's no roosters here, just you. The BIPCOT No Gov open source license, which I don't know. I don't want Lim Gov's Lou opinion on that, really. I'd rather have Lou's opinion on it.
Oh, I think this is hilarious. I was just looking it over.
Maybe we can go. We can tell people really what we're looking at so they can play the home version. If you go to BIPCOT.org, and that's Bravo India Papa Charlie Oscar Tango, BIPCOT.org, and look at the no government open source license that I've written. Had a little help with Daryl Perry. I came up with the idea. Daryl Perry pushed me in the direction of completely taking out the copyright part of it, because it's kind of silly to have a government a license with the name No Gov in it and then have Gov in it. It's basically an open source license for software. We're also going to make a version for non-software media like books, music, etc. It's a license that pretty much is entirely shame-based now. So basically, the only remedy for violating it is we get to make fun of you, and you can't take action or even comment. Like, literally, we put in this license that if you violate it, we get the last word.
Yeah, but it would be rather limited government to say no gov and then have gov in it.
Well, it did. There were two versions of it until about an hour ago. I had a three quarters of an hour discussion with an attorney who does not want to be named, the fiend attorney who cannot be named in conjunction with this. And he actually pushed me to the no gov version of it. And, you know, how many attorneys would actually do that? How many attorneys would actually say, you know, you should just remove this protection of the government in this contract you're writing?
Well, most attorneys are pretty square, and they exist because of government, at least until LibPair comes around.
Yeah.
In which case, a lot of them will probably have to go find honest work. Yeah. But yeah, they survive because of government. So yeah, I can't really see them saying, you know, well, you can't have, you know, no gov in there. I mean, that's crazy. That's like, you know, not having God in church.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You can't, what, a contract with no gov? What? How does that work? Well, you know, we always say that in the absence of government regulatory bodies, things would be done in LibPair, in the libertarian paradise. Bad actions would be punished with shame. And we've actually put it in writing. So, and when you install, this is going to be in FiendPhone starting this weekend. We're doing a new update of it. And when you install FiendPhone, and we're inviting other people to use this license, and when you install FiendPhone, you have to click, I agree to this long contract that no one reads. And so basically, if someone violates it, like, for instance, if a government agent uses this software, which is forbidden in the contract, they are agreeing. They're actually physically signing a contract by clicking OK. And in the contract, they are agreeing to be shamed forever in public by name.
Yeah, this is a very short license, and it's not one of these in legalese confuse you, don't know what it means. Yeah, it's very straightforward. It's short.
Why don't you read it? We'll comment on it a little bit, then read it.
It's actually enjoyable to read.
It's a good read.
Yeah, I mean, the first couple parts of it are the are the normal things that you would see in an open source license agreement. But number four, governments and agents and subcontractors of same are not permitted to use the software or derivations of the software. It's prohibited. There's a law against it. Number five, if governments, agents, and subcontractors of same use this software or derivations of the software, all agencies and persons directly and knowingly involved may be shamed in public by name on the internet, on radio, and in any media now extant or invented in the future throughout the known universe and elsewhere in perpetuity.
I had to put the elsewhere part in there because when we get to LibPair, I'm still going to be making fun of Earth government officials who use software and in violation of this license.
Yeah, when the fiends colonize Mars or Uranus, it's going to be it's still going to keep going. But anyway, governments, agents, and subcontractors of same that use the software or derivations of the software agree to endure this shaming without comment or action.
Yeah, they can't sue us, and they can't even say anything. We just get the last word in writing. And then number six.
Yeah, this is actually
go ahead.
This is actually better than a social contract because they are signing it.
They are signing it. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Have you been watching Better Call Saul?
No, not yet.
Oh, you got to check it out.
I'm usually slow on those things.
I listened today to the episode yesterday, which was with an attorney, Randy England. no, not the same attorney who helped me with this contract. An attorney, Randy England, another fiend attorney, Randy England, who we're doing a series now called An Attorney's Opinion on Better Call Saul. And it's a kind of link-baity title, but unlike all of the different podcasts and radio shows now called The Truth About, and I'm not just talking about that one guy. Like Tom Woods did one today called The Truth About AA and the recovery industry, and he totally conflated AA, you know, which is good, with the recovery industry, which is bad. And his expert was like a recovery psychiatrist to the stars in Beverly Hills. Like, of course that guy's going to say, don't go down to the church basement and pay a dollar. That stuff doesn't work. You got to come to me and pay six figures, you know? That's not the truth.
Yeah, I haven't heard that one yet. But later on, we are going to talk about Tom Woods and a very, very, very good speech that
I like him otherwise. I was really like, you know, is this him jumping the shark? Like other libertarians have jumped the shark. I hope not, because I really dig that guy, man. But our link baity title actually delivers. It actually is an attorney's opinion on Better Call Saul. And Randy talks about the legal aspects and what they get right and pretty much everything, like how courts work and how lawyers work and things. Like usually on shows they don't. Like when I'm watching Law and Order with my wife, who's a paralegal and is in court a lot, she's like, that's not how no judge would let that. They don't do that. That's not how it works. You know, just like mistake after mistake. You know, they try to make it like snappier for TV. Like really, court is boring. You know, there's very little like, you want the truth, you can't handle the truth, you know, and there's very little of judges saying, well, I'll allow it, but don't go too far. Like that's just TV, man. And in Better Call Saul, it's like they show the tedium of him doing, you know, public defender work, and they had to make a montage with music to even make it interesting. Like that's how boring it is. But
Something else that you have to remember is that Law and Order takes place in New York City, so
everything's weird. With that
being an entirely different planet, it is quite feasible that, you know, the way they do things in planet New York City.
Yeah, the age of consent is 17 because they're all perverts, but you can't have a giant soda because they're perverts who care about your health to the point of they want to point guns at you about it.
Yeah, the minimum age in New York City is 16 years, and the maximum size of a soda in New York City is 16 ounces.
Oh, it is 16, isn't it? The age of consent. And, you know, like, I don't want to get into a whole discussion of age of consent laws or whatever, but I just, the reason New York City has an age of consent of 16 is because, you know, it's full of perverts.
you know, it's the same age here in Michigan. It's 16. And yeah, I mean, I don't want to go down that rabbit hole of, you know, what is the proper age? But when you start putting age limits on things like that, you have this arbitrary number of, you know, on the morning of your 16th birthday, when you wake up, you are now qualified to make decisions about this, or on the morning of your 21st birthday.
Yeah.
But 30 minutes before midnight the night before, you are not qualified.
I'll say this. Ever since I was about 18, I didn't have any interest in dating anyone under 30 because they're all insane.
You know what? I'm kind of the same way.
I've always liked older women.
Except for me, you know, I started getting, you know, really liking the older women probably about, I don't know, maybe 25 or so.
You know, it kind of corresponded with me with, like, you know, I generally dated women my age until I was about 25, and then started dating women who were older almost exclusively. And it kind of, there was kind of a point in my life too where there was a point in my life starting when I was like 12 where all of my friends were significantly older than me. And then at some point the cusp passed and now all of my friends are significantly younger than me. Like when I was 12, I was hanging out with people who were like 18 and 19 because I was really smart and you know, they would like smoke pot and bring me along just because I would like talk about science and math and stuff and entertain them. And they were like, they called me Einstein. Like, yeah, let's bring Einstein and go smoke pot behind the library and listen to him talk. Like I was literally like doing talk radio without a microphone, you know, in back of the library to stoners when I was 12. And, you know, somewhere.
Sounds perfectly reasonable.
Somewhere around like 35, it switched and all of my friends started being younger than me. All of the Fiend hosts are younger than me except, well, no, actually Bill Buford and Ben Stone and Randy.
And England. Randy are older than you.
Yeah. Yeah. But you're all peers. You're all my peers, man.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not that much younger than you.
Aren't you 40? I'm 50. I'm 50.
I'm 29 in warm years. No, I'm 44.
Barack Obama's a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink.
And he puts the execute in execution branch.
In the executive branch. Yeah, man. So go to
difference.
Go to bitcot.org and be entertained, worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Are you sick of government lackeys saying, you didn't build that? Are you tired of flunkies like Barack Obama and Al Gore taking credit for the web while trying to take over the web? Are you offended by puppets who regulate the internet, whose concept of the internet is that it's a series of tubes? Take back the free market of computing by getting programmers to adopt the BIPCOT NoGov open source license. The BIPCOT NoGov open source license allows any use of software except by governments. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
Woof, woof.
Freedom Fiends. So, Lysander Fiend.
Yes.
You think you found a loophole or a glaring error or a repetition in the BIPCOT NoGov open source license. What is it?
Okay. On number 6, it says any person or entity that violates any part of this agreement will also be shamed as above and agrees to endure this shaming without comment or action. And when I saw that, I was thinking that was just a repetition of number 5, the last couple lines. But you have corrected me on this, so please do so publicly and shame me for it.
I haven't told you how yet. Number 6 does not contradict or repeat anything from number 5, because number 5 is about governments, agents, and subcontractors of the government. Number 6 is about persons.
Oh, okay.
Government agents aren't
people. Instead of reptilians?
They're not people, man. Yeah. So what do you want to talk about? You got a plot here. What's your plot?
Oh yeah, I have a very big announcement to make.
Dun dun dun.
This coming Sunday night will be my last Freedom Fiends show for a little while. I am going on hiatus. And this has absolutely nothing to do with me misremembering taking small arms fire or RPG rounds in the assault kitchen while cooking dinner at Pork Fest. I know I've talked about that several times. And
wait, do you have post-traumatic fiend syndrome? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, no, no, no. I my fiend syndrome was awesome. But I just, you know, misremembered that I was taking enemy fire at Pork Fest, you know, while cooking, you know, tons of bacon and stuff like that. I talked about it on the radio, and, well, you know, maybe I'm getting a 1 month unpaid suspension.
I didn't. This is no. You're not. This is no shaming. This is. I didn't even know about this till you told me about it. I think it's just that you got a new job and you're moving and you don't know when you'll have internets, isn't it?
I don't even know if there are internets.
Aren't you moving to Beast Lick, Michigan?
Yes. Yes. It's. I believe a little bit smaller than 1/5 the population of Casper, Wyoming.
That's pretty small, man.
Anybody wants to come visit me, turn left at the grizzly bear, go 2 miles down, and hang a right at the moose.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm going to be moving. So, ooh. I'm going to be off for a little while. It could be the entire month of March. I don't know. I'll probably be back before then. But anyway, but yeah, you know, I just want everybody to know that it had nothing to do with me blatantly lying about my service to the fiends and getting called out on it. You know, like, who could we think of? Brian Williams?
Well, we've actually, and you're once a fiend, always a fiend. You're not going anywhere. You're going to be back. Well, you're going somewhere, but you'll be back. We've actually lost 2 co-hosts and gained 3 co-hosts recently. Do you know about this?
Oh, who'd we lose?
I'm not going to say. It was amicable. It was just conflict and people, you know, life happening and babies and boyfriends and things like that. So, yeah, we lost 2, but we gained. Do you know who we gained? Do you miss this memo?
We got the Scottish couple, and yeah. I don't know who the third is.
It's Hugo. Hugo Gonzalez from Mexico City.
Oh, groovy.
Yep, he's going to be on next week with MK and I. It'll be good.
Okay, yeah, I expect to be back on in about 2 or 3 weeks. It's just going to be a matter of, you know, doing all the moving and getting set up and all that other stuff that goes along with going to a new, you know, little one-horse town.
Yeah, I'll keep that in mind with not stressing that I just recently booked the next 4 months of the Fiends, but there's some gaping holes. And so I'll just fill in the ones for the next 2 or 3 weeks and then assume that Lou will just be on every night that's open after that.
Yeah. But Brian Williams, he kind of got hammered for stepping on his big toe.
Well, you know, I kept seeing his name in my feed and didn't know why and didn't really care and didn't check it out at first. It was kind of a neat thing. I kind of liked it. I was like, wow, I'm that out of touch with current events, and it's a good thing. You know, because I'm always thinking about the eternal. I'm more interested in what's happening forever and over. And then I finally found out that he probably lied about some things. And I'm thinking, like, is this really news? I mean, a mainstream newscaster lied? I mean, I've been hearing that since the 70s.
Well, he got busted for unauthorized lies.
Ah, okay. You can explain that when we get back from this trip to the market.
Yes, by all means.
God, Fiend Phone sounds great, man. This just sounded better and better. We're talking to each other over Fiend Phone. It's better than Skype. You can go to fiendphone.com and get it yourself.
Wines.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts. Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this.
Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do!
To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
Uh-huh.
Freedom Fiends. chasing you with liberty.
From the Beast Lick Internet, from the Beast Lick Internet Policy Commission Outreach Team. That's what BIPCOT stands for. So Lou, what's your complaint about? You've actually realized that the mainstream media is not entirely honest, and you're very upset about it.
Yeah, I know. Go figure. Ryan Williams, he got busted for lying about taking fire while riding in a helicopter around Baghdad. And it turns out
I didn't get the joke you were saying about taking RPG and small arms fire at Porkfest. That's what you're – okay. See, I don't follow the news. No, that's funny, man. Okay. I get it.
The best thing about comedy is it's still funny 10 minutes later.
Well, I finally get it.
Even if you don't get it until 10 minutes later.
10 minutes later. Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, so he's talking about being over in Iraq and flying around in a helicopter around Baghdad and taking small arms fire and, you know, shooting RPGs. And he said that his helicopter was forced to go down and all that other nonsense. And what's really amazing is of all the lies about Iraq, that's the one that he actually gets suspended for. Because it's not like there were actually WMDs there. Now, New York Times just recently released a story saying that the CIA was buying WMDs from some mysterious
MWDs.
I don't know, black marketeer guy. Yeah. Yeah. They had MWDs and windowless bunkers. But anyway, yeah, the New York Times just recently released a story saying that CIA was purchasing artillery shells with sarin gas and all that other nonsense back in like 2006. And it's really crazy that, you know, well, why wasn't this information released a long time ago? Because it would have gone a lot further to vindicate the war. You know, why are they doing it now, you know, over 10 years later?
Because government.
Yeah, basically. So anyway, yeah, the media, which is the cheerleaders, the fourth branch of government, the propaganda bureau, Ministry of Truth, whatever you want to call it, here he was being the cheerleader for the war, and he gets busted with some really inconsequential lie, and he winds up getting suspended. But what's really funny is he was completely ostracized across the internet. There were just, you know, literally hundreds of different memes.
He didn't sign a contract agreeing to that either.
Right, right. Well, it's like the social contract. It was imposed upon him.
I think you kind of signed that social contract when you present yourself as a journalist, that if you blatantly lie, you should be made fun of. I'd say that.
Yeah, but I mean, it was beautiful because there were, you know, bunches of memes going around, you know, making him look like the idiot that he is.
Yeah.
And there's a picture of him with Abe Lincoln.
There's one of him on the roof of the World Trade Center on 9/11 with the planes coming at him.
Yep.
Too soon.
And he was talking about when he was with King Leonidas in the 300. And I personally think that memes took him down.
Yeah.
That's my opinion on the matter.
Yeah, and it's kind of silly, like, the things that take people down.
The digital,
like,
you bumper know, stickers.
Like, Richard Nixon, you know, murdered a bunch of American civilians and started, you know, with the Vietnam War and started the he didn't start it. It wasn't his war. It was a Democrats' war. But, you know, Richard Nixon finished it and, you know, ramped up the war on drugs and did all sorts of horrible things. And he gets taken down for, like, spying on six people, which, you know, all governments do all the time anyway. He just got caught.
Mm-hmm. But the meme is a digital bumper sticker that drives up and down the information superhighway for everybody to see.
I like that. That's good.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, so Brian Williams, it looks like he's out now, and maybe he'll come back in 6 months and say, I'm sorry for lying, and I will never do it again.
I was wrong to get caught.
And hopefully nobody will believe him. Hopefully he'll just stay a pariah and, you know, drift off into nothingness and be doing, like, the – I don't know, his book tour at the Senior Citizens Rec Room circuit or something like that.
So speaking of new jobs, are you done with him? Can we move on, or you want to? I'll talk to you. I don't need to move on.
Yeah, I'm absolutely through with Brian Williams.
I'm done with him.
And so is America.
I would wreck him. I'd wreck that girl. No. So you are moving out of Detroit to Beast Lick, Michigan. And I'm starting to. You sent me this picture of your new home, your new apartment, your new condo in the woods. I'm kind of speechless, man. I think you're kidding, but you sent me a picture of a lean-to, an open-faced lean-to in the woods. Is this really where you're going to be living?
No, I won't be living there, but it is rather neat, though.
I think it would look funnier if you photoshopped in like a giant internet cable coming into this thing.
Yeah, but the picture, as Michael described it, it's a lean-to, and it's got like a tarp for a roof, and of course it's got logs going across it, and it's got a.
It looks like something out of MASH.
not even, because they have actual solid tents.
Yeah, this would be a step down from Korean War medical personnel housing. Is this you camping somewhere?
No.
What is this?
No, that's just some stray picture that I got off the internet.
It's pretty well.
Oh, yeah, there's snow everywhere.
It's pretty well constructed, though. Whoever did this knows what they're doing.
The only thing that really makes me wonder about that picture is why they have the fire right next to the log wall in the front.
Yeah, it's not very smart.
That's the only thing that I don't really understand, and you know, makes me wonder. But yeah, it's got like a bed of straw with a sleeping bag on it. And
yeah,
fine. Hey, you gotta be comfortable. Nothing but the best.
I really believed you when you sent this to me. You're kind of you have that kind of British humor that's very dry, and I didn't know this was humor. I was like, okay, so this is where you're going to be living for your new job.
You know? That's in the high rent district. maybe you want to use that for the show notes picture.
I think I do. It's a windowed bunker, actually.
Well, in theory, I mean, there's no actual windows, but it does have space where you can look out.
It's all windows. It's all opening. It's all door. It's all door, actually. So
yeah.
We're doing visual.
The
humor.
Windows have about.
Go ahead.
The windows have as much glass as the city of Detroit does.
There you go. So it's prosperity. This was a picture of prosperity. So we're doing visual humor on the radio again, which let's not do. So what do you got? What do you got? Is it real or is it the onion?
That is the onion. I'm not actually going to be living in that thing.
Okay.
Although it is kind of neat.
Did you see this thing that Facebook is now providing Facebook from beyond the grave? Have you heard about this?
No, I haven't.
Facebook to allow users to pick who will run their page after they die. And I don't really, I don't have a moral issue with this. I just think it's kind of silly and funny. And the thing is, it's like, I can't believe that there are people who consider their face beef page so important that they want to will it to somebody, you know, by setting it up ahead of time with Facebook. Like literally, my face beef page is probably my least valued possession. Like I would say, any of these vapes that I'm holding are probably worth more to me. You know, they're worth about, I don't know, $17 each. And that's far more valuable to me and more willable to me than my face beef page. How do you feel about it?
I think that people are so addicted to Facebook that they're going to keep it going after they're gone. It's to really be so concerned about it. When you first started talking about the story, I thought you were going to, you were talking about how Facebook was going to look to censor fake news, although they said that the Onion and satire sites would not be messed with.
Yeah, they probably have partnerships with them. Well, there's actually, and this is kind of like, is this real or is this Facebook imitating the Onion? Because the Onion News has a joke piece that I've heard on LRN that's about some parents of a teenage boy who died in a drunk driving accident, and they keep updating his Facebook. It might even actually be MySpace. It might be that old, but his parents are keeping him alive by updating his social network page. And the thing was, like, everything he posted on there was mean and, like, calling people crap, poop birds, this and that. And, like, his parents just go on there and make fun of other people as him to keep him alive, like other people, you know, just attack. Like basically his son was, their son was a troll, and they're still trolling in his name to keep his memory alive.
Okay. I haven't heard of that one, but I have heard about the one where the gal kind of like went comatose because of too much Twitter.
Yeah.
And her parents had to pull the plug on her.
Because she turned into a vegetable. Yeah.
Yeah, from too much Twitter, face beef, and all that other nonsense. I usually have Facebook running in the background most of the day, you know, when I'm at my computer. And I'll go in, I'll check it, and I'll find some interesting stories here and there. I don't have a whole lot of nonsense of, you know, all these different sports stories rolling through there and entertainment and all that other junk, because I really don't care about that. I have a pretty decent friends list, and it's a heck of a lot better after I culled out about, I don't know, 130 neocons last weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually took a couple hours and went through and cleared out about 130 people. And some for various reasons. Some had deactivated their accounts and everything, but yeah, and some of them I was just really sick and tired of seeing their junk come through.
Yeah.
So I had to get rid of them.
I don't have any people like that. I even delete people I agree with on everything just because I don't like them. I'm brutal. And I do not keep Facebeef open all day long because it really bugs me. Like, and if I forget and leave it open and I hear the little beep, beep alert, I'm like, ugh, why are people talking to me? Blah. I go on there.
Oh, I turned off the sound.
I go on there like two or three times a day for 5 to 8 minutes at a time. And by the time I'm done, I'm just disgusted. Even when things are going well on there, I'm just like, ugh, this is horrible. I'm wasting my time. This is my life, and it's ending 1 minute at a time.
Yeah, well, I've had a few times where I've just like taken a couple days off of it because I was, you know, overdosing on all the garbage that was going through there. But I keep it open because I'm just afraid that I'm going to miss a cat video.
Yeah, there's sites you can just go and find cat videos. There's so much crap. People share so much crap, and most
that requires
people
searching.
Don't do anything. Most people just share pictures of their food, man. I don't care. I don't care what you had for lunch. Worms. If you had worms, I care. I'd like to know about that.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
Yeah. Freedom Fiends. So, on this show, Better Call Saul, you know, it takes place before Breaking Bad, so they're kind of introducing some characters that we know from Breaking Bad, like Mike. And Davi really wants them to bring back Gale, you know, the libertarian meth cook guy. You remember him?
No, I've never seen
Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad.
You've never seen Breaking Bad? Oh, yeah. You live in a lean-to with no electricity in the woods. I forgot.
or internets.
Yeah, he was this like libertarian who did not do drugs, who worked at an industrial scale methamphetamine factory. And he gives a speech at one point. Like somebody asks him, like, you know, the other meth cook asks him, so why did you get into this? And he said, well, I'm a libertarian. I don't take drugs, but I believe that consenting adults should be able to put whatever they want into their body. And if they get it from someone else, it's going to be adulterated and impure. And if they get it from me, it's going to be exactly what they're paying for. It's going to be pure and as described. And I believe that's the free market at work. And I'm like, whoa, that's on TV. And this guy's a good guy. That's an interesting TV. Interesting how the world is coming. And there's a point where like he gets murdered and they find the police find his notebook and they're looking through his notebook And it's got all these like drawings of the meth lab and, you know, equipment he had to order for it and things like list, really obscure things like list of top 10 recombinant bicycles and, you know, tips for home composting in your apartment and things like that. And one of the things he has is there's a Ron Paul sticker in there. So Davy Barker really wants this character to come back. And a lot of times when fans want, you know, like a show that's canceled to come back or something, or they want a character to come back, they'll do a campaign where they'll send things to the network. Like they'll all send peanuts or something if the character made some reference to peanuts. And I was thinking, if they want to get Gail back, people should send AMC. Maybe people should send, what would they send for Gail? Would they send like a copy of a Ron Paul book, a pocket constitution, and some meth?
Or Mother Earth News.
Yeah. Yeah. He was kind of a hippie. All right. So you wanted to talk about something or other. What was it? Barack Obama is a socialist, a liar, and his feet stink.
That's true, but that's not the topic. From the here, have some government file.
Yeah. Okay.
Ugh. It was just a little bit over 2 years ago that Christopher Dorner was killed in that cabin. He was burned up.
Yeah. Is that the cop? Is that the cop that killed a cop in LA?
Christopher Dorner was the cop that tried to change the system from the inside. Oh, wait. He was already outside. But anyway, he went off and started killing like other cops from when he was there. And I mean, there's some evidence that he's not such the bad guy that people assumed him to be, but he's certainly not a good guy. But anyhow, the manhunt led to him being chased into this cabin in San Bernardino, and they wound up setting it on fire and killing him in there. And there was you could hear on the scanners I'm talking about, all right, light it up, burn it down. And interestingly enough, the coroner's report says that his death was by suicide, that he did it himself. But anyway, the woman who owned the cabin, her name is Candy Martin. The San Bernardino Sheriff's Department offered her $200,000 restitution for burning down her, or for allegedly burning down her cabin.
And she did not rent, he didn't rent it from her. He just broke in, right? It was an empty cabin.
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, as far as I know, he just, you know, said, hey, look, there's a cabin. That's a place for me to hold up. Anyway, he went in there and it got burned down. She had asked for $420,000 to rebuild, but the county only offered her $200,000. So her place wound up getting like, you know, demolished and, you know, bulldozed, leveled over, whatever. And now she has to sell the land.
Well, that's eminent domain. It's in the Constitution.
Yeah. But anyway, a call to San Bernardino County officials was not returned. Don't call them officials. Call them parasites. That's what they are.
Strong, interesting opinions from a fellow fiend. And I do not disagree.
Second hour coming up. Boings!
Worms.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Yeah, Lou. Uh-huh. Take it, Lou.
Freedom Fiends, hour two. Welcome to the Libertarian Distance Learning Center. This is Lou, and I am joined by MWD, Michael W. Dean. How you doing there, Michael?
I'm good, and I don't care what happens after I die about my face beef, my Facebook. I mean, literally, it's you know, if you really want to make something for the ages, put it on BitTorrent like we do, not on the platform run by the CIA probably that everyone else is using. And, you know, the thing is, too, if you really, like, if you die a fiery death, not that I plan to and I'm not going to, but if you do, Facebook deletes your page anyway. You don't have to worry about it being taken over by trolls.
Yeah, I really fear dying a fiery death vaping in bed.
I don't know. I haven't heard of a battery blowing up in about 5 years. I think they've solved that problem.
It goes back to that old smoking in bed thing, which is something that I was never really keen on. I don't even smoke in my bedroom anyway. But anyway, good morning, Belfouche. Good morning, Sturgis, Sundance, and all the other ships at sea. So anyway, we were talking earlier in the very first segment about Tom Woods, and you said that Tom recently kind of
contacted you, Michael. I've been contacted by the non-government, by the extra non. I don't know if he's anti-government. Just he don't like it. He's a good guy. I was contacted by Tom Woods. He, you know, whenever prominent libertarians post on the internet and say, I need help with my audio, what should I do? Like 10 people chime in and say, talk to Michael Dean. And, you know, eventually, if enough people say that, the people do. So he contacted me and wanted to talk to me about hiring me to give him some audio consulting. And then we talked back and forth a bit, and then he did not. So, and his audio is still not great, and his co-hosts and interviewees sound horrible, man. He did an interview with Ian Freeman, who's like sitting in a radio studio. Like, he could have done it over Skype even, and it would have sounded great, let alone Fiend Phone, which would have sounded better. But he did it over a cell phone, and it just sounded horrible, man. I think so many people have a, like, give me convenience or give me death kind of attitude about audio production. I don't get it.
And doing it with Skype is pretty much give me convenience or give me death, because there's free plugins that you can use to record the conversations as an MP3.
Yeah, and I mean, Ian Freeman in that studio over Skype would sound about 50,000 times better than Ian Freeman over a cell phone, or anybody over a cell phone. Yeah, it's just, and I think Tom's done things over Skype before. I don't understand why he couldn't do it. Maybe Ian wasn't home or something, but I would just reschedule it until he's home. Yeah, I don't know.
A lot of Tom's stuff sounds really good. He sounds great. He sounds
good, yeah.
Yeah, his guests sometimes they sound great, and sometimes it's mediocre, and then sometimes it's, you know, kind of rough. But yeah, Tom's one of us. He is officially a no government guy.
Yeah, and he helped write the Ron Paul homeschool program. It's basically It's basically the Woods. It's basically the Tom Woods program with a partnership with Ron Paul, and Ron Paul wrote a little bit of it, but it's mostly Tom Woods' thing.
Yeah, I think Tom's done like 6,000 videos for it, and that's the first year.
Yeah, I really think he missed the boat on his AA thing, and there's a lot of people who criticize AA who've never been in AA, which is, I mean, that right there. You know, it's hard to really. I don't know. I just think he missed the boat on it, and. You know, he was like screaming at people in his comments on it, talking about, you know, oh, you people are apologists for AA, you're brainwashed kind of stuff. And the thing is, like, I got sober in AA, but I haven't been to a meeting since 2006, and I have a lot to criticize about it, but not the same, you know, the things that he was criticizing, his guest was criticizing about it, and he was agreeing with, were ridiculous. And the guest was a guy who has a financial incentive to get people to not go to AA, because he's a Beverly Hills psychiatrist, you know, to the rich and maybe famous, who
makes, like a boutique rehab.
Yeah. It's, you know, there's a say, they call it, what they call it in AA, they call it the $20,000 big book, you know, because it's basically like AA with a cushy, the AA big book with a cushy environment around it and a lot of money attached to it, you know, in a cozy room and people attending to your every need. And the thing is, too, his guest, and by extension him, by agreeing with a lot of it, He really conflated two things that are completely separate. And one is AA, which is, I think, good. From personal experience, I think I'd be dead if it weren't for AA. And I tried everything else, and it was the thing that did the job. And he was conflating that with what I call the recovery industrial complex, which is anywhere from not nearly as good to evil, because a lot of times it has a lot of involvement with government and a lot of brainwashing and a lot of money involved. It all seems to be based out of Minnesota too. I don't understand. Like, don't they have other things they can sell there? I guess trees. I guess they make the trees into recovery industrial complex books. But yeah, man, I don't think that, you know, I don't like when the government forces people to go to recovery. You can't get recovery if you're forced. You have to be willing and want it. And I just did not dig it. It's about the only thing from Tom Woods I've ever really disagreed with, and I disagreed really strongly with it. And you know, the naysayers would say, "Oh, well, you're brainwashed," because, like, no, man, like, I was dying, and AA was the only thing that saved my life. And it has some cult-like aspects, but it's not a destructive cult. It's not about separating you from society. It's about getting you back into society. I just think Tom really, really missed a major opportunity, or not even missed it. I don't think he needs to take the opportunity to, like, praise AA, because AA is doing fine without him. You know, it's got, like, you know, 20 million members worldwide. It doesn't need Tom Woods' endorsement. But I really think that he kind of denigrated himself by having this guy on and agreeing with him. The guy was conflating two completely different things. You know, it's the military, the recovery industrial complex is kind of a parasite living on the back of the 12-step program. And a lot of it isn't even straight out 12-step. It's like 12-step combined with a bunch of, like, kind of creepy 70s style cult psychology. And, you know, a lot of, like, weird shame, a lot of them are shame based. I used to actually go bring an AA speaker once a month into a facility in San Francisco when I was a member of AA, and I'm no longer a member. So I'm not violating the tradition of anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films by discussing this on radio. But I used to bring a speaker once a month into this. It was an NA speaker, actually, into this facility in San Francisco. I can't remember the name of it, and I probably wouldn't say it if I could, because they're probably very litigious, because they were a big, big, big multi-million dollar, you know, state funded, like, rehab for teenagers, basically. Like, a lot of the kids in there were inner city urban utes who'd had some drug charges along with, like, you know, car theft and assault and things like that. And, it wasn't straight AA. It was like AA combined with, like, military. I mean, AA was a small component of it. And this is how a lot of recovery facilities are. They're tainted with all this other stuff. Like, I remember one time the kids were kind of horsing around before the meeting, and the facilitator from the organization, you know, the live-in den mother or whatever, said, "Focus up." And, like, all, like, 20 or 30 kids in a circle, like, all went from, like, being kids and being kind of jovial and not being rude, just kind of talking. And, like, you know, the thing hadn't started yet. I'd walked into the room and I hadn't started it yet. And she said, "Focus up." And I guess that's some kind of, like, magical talisman word. And, like, all of these kids, all these little gangbanger gangster types, like, all of a sudden, like, put their hands in their lap in front of them, straightened out their legs, and looked down like they were ashamed. Like, that's
jumped up to attention. It sounds like,
yeah, it was, but it was less than jump to attention. It was like, look down in shame because I cried. You know, I said the magic word, and there are all kinds of stuff around that. And that has nothing to do with AA, man. And the thing that Tom did, the video he did recently, today or yesterday or whenever, this week, was just, I can't even imagine it. It would be as absurd. What they were doing was absurd, as absurd as if I said, "Oh, I don't want to check out Tom Woods because I've heard Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh, and those talkers are all the same." It would be exactly that wrong, you know?
Okay. I haven't heard this this edition of his show yet, but I do remember seeing a book review or article or something like that, and it was one of these recovery industrial complex folks that was talking about how AA only produces about 10% success rate, and he threw out, like, some statistics, but there was absolutely nothing to back it up. I mean, it was basically just a dismissal and saying, no, the only way to do it is to go through, you know, our program.
And the thing is, like, statistics with AA are really impossible to do in a scientific method, because the only way to do it, because first of all, it's anonymous. Like, a lot of people don't want to admit they're in AA because they're, you know, their job depends on them being an upstanding member of society, and they can't admit they ever had a problem with drugs and alcohol. So you're not going to get, if you do a survey, you're not going to get accurate representation of people who've had success with it. The only way to really do, to measure the success of AA would be to, like, take 2,000 people who are drunks, put 1,000 of them in AA, and put 1,000 of them in something else, and then, like, track them for 10 years. You can't really do that, you know?
Yeah, and I don't even know how well that would work, because there's a certain segment of the population that, you know, they could
go either way. Just lie,
a certain segment that, yeah, but and you also have a certain segment that once they put their mind to it, you know, they put the stuff down and they walk away, and they don't worry about it, you know, in the future. And then you have a small, you know, another small segment that no matter what, they're not going to get clean.
Well, yeah, and there's also in that first and second segment, I think you'd have to take into account there are people who drink like alcoholics for a period of time who are not alcoholics. Like, most people in college, when they first can drink whenever they want and no one's telling them not to, like, they'll drink like
alcoholics.
Army guys in Germany, or, you know, someone who recently lost a loved one. And then there are people who, like, get physically addicted to opiates who aren't addicts. Like, you can become physically addicted to something without an addictive personality. If you're in extreme pain in a body cast and they give you morphine for 6 months, you're going to go through withdrawal when you get out. And there's all these other factors. And really, like, I don't listen to anybody on it who hasn't been an addict or an alcoholic. And I've been an addict and an alcoholic, and I think I have more to say on it than someone who hasn't. And neither Tom Woods or this expert have been, so
you're
there.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Hey, this is Michael Dean from The Freedom Fiends radio show. I've been working with computer programmer Derek Slopey to create Fiend Phone. I'm using Fiend Phone right now to talk with and record one of my co-hosts in real time. Take it, Davi.
Hey, this is Davi Barker, and I'm 1,000 miles away from Michael, but we sound like we're in the same room.
We sure do, Davi. So, Davi, please tell the nice people more about Fiend Phone.
Fiend Phone is free, open-source software that opens up a global world of possibilities for collaborative, high-quality remote voice media production, and I'm digging it.
People can try the Windows beta version of Fiend Phone right now at fiendphone.com. But we're also raising money to vastly improve Fiend Phone and vastly improve independent talk media worldwide.
So go to fiendphone.com and join the conversation, because if you don't, you'll set liberty back 2,500 years.
That's fiendphone.com. FENPHONE.com. Foxtrot, Echo, November, phone.com.
Fiend Phone. I never knew remote audio could be this good.
Freedom Fiends. The truth about Tom Woods. No, I'm kidding. I have a real problem with anything being called the truth about. There are a lot of videos on the internet these days called the truth about, and I think it's kind of a link-baity thing. Like, people want to click on things called the truth about. And, you know, it's not even new to, like, you know, whoever you think it is from Canada or whatever. It's like, I've been seeing stuff called the truth about since the 70s, and it's usually opinion. Like, anything that says the truth about, generally, in my experience, is opinion, and often not right, a correct opinion. It's usually used by people who have a strong agenda. Like, I don't know if that's Tom's case. It, you know, maybe. I don't know. But, yeah. If it's if it's the truth, you don't have to say it.
Yeah, I don't know what the motivation is there. I'm not even going to speculate. I haven't seen this yet, and I will check it out because we've talked about it. But if this is the case, this is probably be the one presentation that he's done that I haven't loved.
Yeah. Yeah, I like Tom Woods a lot.
Oh, I'm like a super-duper big fan of his. Oh, yeah. He's a great man to me.
Great man.
No, he's He's the one that brought me. He's the one that brought me over to Liberty.
I've never heard you mention him.
Oh wow! Well, actually, I did that the speech to the Libertarian Party where I told them to quit voting and quit worshiping great men and all that other stuff, and I had mentioned him.
I didn't watch that. You mean that like 120-minute video shot on a cell phone?
Yeah. It wasn't 120.
I didn't watch it. I watched like 2 minutes.
But anyway, yeah. Yeah. But yeah, Tom Woods is the one that gave me the red pill.
And he's the one that I don't know what that means. Doesn't that also mean like made you not a feminist or something? It's used that way too. It's a confusing term.
No, I'm using the Matrix reference.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You take the red pill and then you come out of the Matrix and you see the world for what it really is instead of the manipulated construct.
Yeah, well, I talked about what I don't like about this one video, so let's undo it by you spending an hour talking about how great he is. And when I say if someone sends this to Tom Woods and he checks in and it sounds like I'm denying that he's a great man by laughing when you said great man, he should know, and anybody else listening should know that one of our co-hosts, Mr. Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker, who kind of was my quote-unquote great man, one of him and Nima Vedati really brought me the last mile from minarchist to ANCAP to no government man to I don't want no leaders, leave me alone. And Ben Stone has done several podcasts that are not called The Truth About the Great Man Fallacy, but they're just about the great man fallacy, and they are the truth. And he basically points out that there are no such thing as great men. There are no people that are, you know, bestowed from on high to lead everybody. And, you know, it's kind of rightfully dismissing the idea that leads to a lot of statism. I really think the great man theory leads to a lot of statism. And I think it's good that Tom Woods did one video that's almost completely wrong, because it makes it obvious he's not a great man and there are no great men. So go ahead and tell me why you think he's a great man or why he's okay. A good guy. How's that?
Okay. Back in the old days, I was still a statist and neocon and everything else. And I was watching Glenn Beck like, you know, a good statist neocon would do. And yeah, this is back when Glenn was on Fox. And I kind of liked him at the time. He was refreshing.
It was that point where he was starting to sound like Alex Jones for a minute, and then they kicked him off. Was it during that period? That's when I watched him.
It was before that.
Yeah.
But I was still caught up in the left-right paradigm and on the 3x5 card of allowable opinion, as Tom calls it. But anyway, Tom was on the show as a guest, and he was talking about the forgotten depression of 1920 and 21. This is something that absolutely nothing about in the government indoctrination gulag.
I don't know if that's a forgotten depression. That's the Great Depression, isn't it?
No, the Great Depression was started in 1929.
Okay.
And depending upon how you measure it, it went all the way to 1945.
Right. My dad was born in 21, yeah, he was a kid during the Great Depression, but go on.
He was a baby during the Forgotten Depression. Yeah. But anyway, this isn't something that you hear about. And according to the metrics of what makes a depression, the first year of the 1920 and 21 Depression was worse than the first year of the Great Depression.
Huh.
But in about 18 months, it was cleared up and things were back to normal, and you didn't have a bunch of public works programs, new deals. The Fed was largely inactive. They didn't go and stimulate the economy and go crazy. And, everything just sorted itself out.
You know what? You know what other politician fixed a broken economy? Hitler.
Who?
Hitler. Adolf Hitler.
Yeah, he did.
So beware of the politicians that want to fix the economy that other politicians broke.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now. Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound.
Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Yeah. This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends talking to Lucianne Fiend from the Freedom Fiends, and we would like to welcome our newest affiliate, WPNN in Pensacola, Florida. Good people, good station, good content, like the Freedom Fiends.
The Redneck Riviera.
That is a name for that part of Florida. We're on several stations there. And
I've been down there. I like it.
And you're a redneck. So, yeah, you're not speaking derogatorily. It's a good
thing.
No,
I'm a hillbilly.
Yeah.
Well, it's a Michigan farmer.
It's just a redneck with mountains. So, yeah. So I would like to continue talking with you about things and stuff, including the fact that Barack Obama is a liar, he's a socialist, and his feet stink. But you want to talk about a good guy, Tom Woods, right?
Yeah, yeah. So in the last segment, I was talking about seeing him on Glenn Beck, and he was talking about the Forgotten Depression of 1920 and 21, which it did not have a whole bunch of government interventions and all this other stuff. Basically, it was allowed to sort itself out, and within about 18 months, it was done. Unlike when the busybodies get in there and say, no, we must centrally plan this perfect socialist economy and make everything right and break lots of windows and dig ditches and fill them up.
Well, like Hitler. Hitler saved the economy with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, he built up the Wehrmacht.
Yeah, got Germany back from the inflation of the Weimar Republic, where you know the price of a meal would go up during the meal, and they had to keep changing it. Yeah, so don't trust those politicians with their make work programs trying to save economies, because they have a lot in common with Hitler when they do that. FDR.
Yeah, I even Obama. Have one of those Weimar banknotes.
George Bush.
That
everyone's got one of those.
Yeah, and it's only cool. Printed on one side because they didn't want to waste the ink on both sides.
Somebody gave me one when I was a kid, and I thought I was rich until someone explained to me that I was not.
Oh, that's not even used anymore. That's how bad it is. But anyway, yeah, so I'm watching the Glenn Beck Show, and Tom Woods is on there, and this was probably 2009, 2010, something like that. So I'm hearing all this stuff that I had never heard in the government indoctrination gulag, and I'm like, wow, this is kind of neat. I wonder why I didn't learn this. And I went to his website, and I was reading up the articles on it and reading the other articles, and this was really my first introduction into real economic education. And from there, I wound up going and checking out the Mises Institute and LouRockwell.com and, you know, just a whole bunch of other things, and I was given the opportunity to pull my head out of my butt, which was very welcome. And here's something that will probably come as a shock to a lot of people. Ron Paul was not my gateway to liberty.
In 2008, this is surprising news to me because I've never heard you mention Tom Woods. I've done dozens of shows with you. I've heard you talk about every other libertarian under the sun. And never heard you mention Tom Woods. I've talked about Tom Woods and being a good guy more than you have on this show.
Yeah, well, he's never come up when on together, but
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, in 2008, you know, being the neocon that I was, you know, prior to, you know, realizing and repenting for my sins, you know, I was a McCain supporter. I didn't know anything about Ron Paul in 2008. All I heard was he was that kooky congressman that wanted to bring back the gold standard and get rid of central banking. I'm going through all this different stuff. And incidentally, Ron Paul in 2012 kind of derailed my road to being a no government guy because I got all caught up in the excitement about him. I didn't really have a tremendous ton of faith that he was going to get elected and that he was going to change things, but I did get caught up in the excitement, you know, kind of like when you're at a concert and everybody's screaming, hooting and hollering and it gets contagious. You start screaming, hooting and hollering and ultimately, nobody knows why they're screaming, hooting, and hollering except they're at a concert. Well, anyway, yeah, that was me. But and then it was Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker, with the podcast, and you even turned me on to Ben with this, where he talked about how Ron Paul's not going to get elected, nothing's going to change, and I had to come back to reality.
Yeah.
But
Tom Woods, but anyway, Tom Woods is a Catholic. You know, one of our co-hosts, Randy England, is a Catholic. I asked Randy England yesterday on the show, since it is Lent, I asked him if he was giving up voting for Lent.
I think he gave up voting for Lent a long time ago and stuck with it.
I would like to suggest to any Catholics listening, if you've not given up voting yet, give it up for Lent. And even if there aren't any elections during Lent in your area, just give up the idea of thinking voting matters for Lent. That is a thing you can give up for Lent. And it's an indulgence, and it's a sin, and it's something that's yummy that you can give up and suffer a bit. Give up voting for Lent, man.
Well, not to mention it's a sacrament to the religion of statism, and I believe it's the first commandment says, thou shalt not have no other gods but me, or thou shalt not worship false gods or idols or something like that. And the state is a false god, and it is idolatry and all that other nonsense. So yeah, give it up, abandon it, give it up for Lent. Even if you're not Catholic, give it up for Lent. Matter of fact, don't even wait for Lent. Just give it up. Vacate it. Yeah. So I learned a ton of stuff, you know, going through Tom Woods, his articles, and then all the other articles that I found, you know, by linking from his website and going over to Mises Institute and all this other stuff. And my minarchist phase was probably about 5 minutes, if that.
Mine was a couple of years. Well, no, about a year. Then I met Nima.
Once I got past, you know, like the basic stuff, that final step was real easy. As a matter of fact, I was telling people that I was a mini statist, you know, because you know, when I wasn't, you know, just because it was, you know, not part of the allowable opinion. And Tom has this recent video that he put out. It was at the Mises Circle, I believe it was, in Houston, Texas, just a couple weeks ago. And the topic was secession. And as I mentioned, Tom's catchphrase is shredding the 3x5 card of allowable opinion. And when they talk about secession, anybody that talks about secession, or anybody talks about the stuff that we talk about here on The Fiends, being no government guys and gals, we're smeared for it, but we're not refuted. You know, if we say, you know, taxation is theft, they say, no, you can, you know, debate whether 38% should be the marginal tax rate or 37%, but you can't say no taxation. I mean, what's the matter with you? Are you crazy? And in this particular speech, he goes down the long list of stuff, and not just secession. You know, and something about secession is, you know, you got these arbitrary lines drawn on a map, and people have this fascination that say, well, no, you can never, you know, you can never change these lines. And if you don't like secession, don't celebrate the 4th of July, because the colonists seceded from England. It wasn't a revolution, because they did not overthrow the king and take over. It was a secession or a divorce, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, it seems like the problem with most secessionist movements, except maybe the Free State Wyoming and the Free State Project. I think even just the Free State Project. The problem is they always want to leave one government and start another. And the Free State Project seems to not want to do that. Free State Wyoming, it's hard to say, because it's so decentralized that, like, you know, you can't even, like, hear what they're thinking on a day-to-day basis. And they're, you know, we're all in our I'm not a member, but I'm a friend of the members. You know, we're all in our separate windowless bunkers. So, you know, who knows? Who knows what anyone's thinking?
With secession, you know, the whole part of the Civil War, it was about slavery. It was about keeping the Union together. It was about preventing states that wanted to separate from the Union, preventing them from doing that. It was about collecting taxes and tariffs and all this other stuff. So it wasn't about slavery, but rather than, you know, refuting the point that, you know, they wanted to leave a political relationship that, you know, they weren't happy with, it says, well, it's about slavery. And, you know, and there's no refutation there. It's just, you know, throwing insults. Like, he's commonly called a neo-Confederate when he talks about it. But one of the things that he points out is, and it's in the very beginning, is you have 320 million-ish people here in the U.S. Is it really that crazy to say that 300 trillion million people should not be ruled by just one city alone?
Yeah. Do you know about Tom Woods being a founding member of the League of the South?
No.
Yeah, this is I just read this. I didn't know this until now. He's a founding member of the League of the South, which is considered a secessionist organization that, quote, counsels white Southerners that they should not give control of their civilization and its institutions to another race, whether it be native blacks or Hispanic immigrants. I mean, the Southern Poverty Law Center considers them a racist organization, but they consider everybody that they don't like something weird. But I'm reading up on the League of the South, and it seems like a bit more than it's a Southern nationalist organization, which seems kind of weird to me. And I don't know. I'm not going to condemn.
What's the source on this?
Wikipedia, but they're sourced elsewhere. Let's see. Well, we could probably go to their website and read what the League of the South says. And I don't know that he's still a member. Who knows? But it's kind of a noodle scratcher for me. I'd like to know more about it. Have you ever heard him talk about it?
No, I haven't. And I believe he's originally from Massachusetts.
That's interesting.
Huh. Yeah, like Boston or something like
Melrose,
that.
Melrose, Massachusetts. Yeah, went to Harvard. Yeah, League of the South. Yeah, you keep talking. I'll look at the League of the South website and see if there are any red flags go up.
Okay. Now, going back to some of the other opinions that you're not allowed to hold, and basically what happens is anybody that mentions any of these things is disparaged, but he also points out things that people have said that they weren't disparaged for. Realistically, a lot of these politicians have said things that they should be run out of town with pitchforks, torches, and automatic weapons. One example is Madeleine Albright. When she was on 60 Minutes and she was questioned by, I think it was Leslie Stahl, maybe? I can't remember. But anyway, she was questioned about the 500,000 Iraqi children that were killed because of the sanctions. Those sanctions prevented water purification and all sorts of stuff from getting in there. So you had, about 500,000 people get killed. And she did not refute it. She says it was worth it.
There's an article called Honoring John Wilkes Booth on the League of the South website. That's funny. All right, we'll be back.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Hey, this is Squiscar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed,
buy sheep for sheep on sheep,
and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available And you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiend's message worldwide to as many Liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Hi, this is Mr. Michael Dean talking to Lucian the Fiend. And I looked on the League of the South's website, and Tom Wood's name does not exist on that website. It's been scrubbed if it was ever on there. So I don't know. We all did things that were different when we were younger. So I'm just reading Wikipedia, man. I'm no expert. I don't know the truth about Tom Woods, even though I'm going to call this episode The Truth About Tom Woods. And I still like him a lot. And I don't think this should be I don't think this episode should be in the same category as, oh, Michael's back to bashing other libertarians. I'm not bashing libertarians at all. I'm saying, like, as far as I can tell from his what he puts out on his site, he's still really solid, except for this one video. He also, I think he's just really burning out. Like, his comments, some of the comments to people disagreeing with him about AA on this were like, I do so much for the movement. Leave me alone. Quit bothering me with the truth or whatever. You know, like I know that feeling, man. And he's much more popular than we are and must get, although he probably makes a little money. We don't make any money. Money takes the edge off it. But, you know, he puts a lot out there and puts a lot of himself into it. And it's kind of a thankless job, even if a lot of people thank you. Because, you know, if you put your words out there on the world, there's a lot of people who just want to go, you're stupid. And we are not among them with Tom Woods. So praise him more, Lou.
Yeah, he stays very busy. One of the biggest accomplishments in my conversion that he's responsible for was bringing me around to the not murdering and killing everybody else mentality, basically becoming anti-war.
He got you off of Fox News addiction.
Yeah. And the way that happened was, you know, granted, he was talking about the Madeleine Albright interview, and I mean, just to ask the listeners here, if for some reason, like the rest of the world ganged up on America and imposed sanctions and things couldn't be imported here, and you had a bunch of people dying because of those sanctions, or a bunch of people were dying in I don't know, raids looking for insurgents and things like that. I don't know, if 500,000 American babies were killed, I don't know, would you be a little bit fired up? Would you be a little bit angry at the foreign invaders, the occupation force?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I probably would. So basically realizing that, yeah, other people out there, even though they look different, even though they may worship another god, even though they speak another language, they're still human beings. And
it's the same God. It's just a different name. I mean, if you're talking about Abrahamic religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, it's the same God.
Yeah, but I mean, ultimately, though, they're human beings. I mean, I've said this before. Growing up in the 70s and 80s, I heard the evil empire speech. I heard how evil the Russians were. And then I met some Russians and found out that it was a bunch of bull. Yeah, the Russians weren't evil people that would eat your soul if you turned your back on them. And probably the biggest thing that really, really nailed it down to me was he was talking about Mark Twain's The War Prayer. And that was put out I believe it was written around the time of the Spanish-American War, but it wasn't published until after Mark Twain's death because of the reaction that would have come about from it. And you can go on YouTube. I think Peter Coyote narrates a version of it. And it's a town that is getting ready to send their sons off into battle. And everybody's excited, and there's a church service. And the preacher goes up and you know, says a prayer, you know, keep our boys safe and you know, make their shots fire true. And basically all the stuff that you would normally get out of a prayer for troops going into battle. And then this old man comes walking up and, you know, scraggly looking guy and, you know, looks like a bum. And he goes up to the pulpit and he says, you know, God has heard your prayer, and he has heard both parts of your prayer, the one spoken and the one unspoken. And he proceeds to tell what exactly will happen, and that the human beings on the other side, you know, their houses will be burned down, they will freeze to death in wintertime, their children will be killed, their you know, their children will be orphaned, and just all this horrible stuff that goes along with war because one government gets pissed off at another government.
Yeah.
So, thank you, Tom Woods, for giving me the red pill.
And thank you, Lou, for another good show on the Freedom Fiends.
It was a pleasure being had.
It's nice having you. Wimes.
I love being the hamster on the spit, rotating.
Rotating in the middle of the night. Anybody listening to radio between 1 a.m. and 3 a.m. is probably insane, and that's why we like being on the radio then.
That's why we do radio then.
With insomnia, you're never really awake and you're never really asleep. Everything's a copy of a copy of a copy. Worms.
Wings.